Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
Well, I get the honor of finishing off our Christmas series, and the title of my message is The Indescribable Gift. The Indescribable Gift. And I'm going to start out by reading a passage found in Luke 1. During the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel, the angel, appeared to her, and he said, "Rejoice, beloved young woman, for the Lord is with you, and you're anointed with great favor." Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel assured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with the baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He'll be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Mary said, "But how could this happen? I'm still a virgin." Gabriel answered, The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her 6th month. Not one promise from God is empty of power. Nothing is impossible with God. Then Mary responded by saying, "Yes, yes, I will be the mother for the Lord. As his servant, I will accept whatever he has for me. May everything you've told me come to pass." And the angel left her. Pray with me. Father, it's our desire this morning that you would surprise us like you did Mary with a wonderful gift, that you would pour out revelation by your Spirit, that you would pour out great encouragement and hope and comfort and love in this place today. We ask in faith, believing, and in the name of Jesus, amen. So the key verse this morning is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. That's the verse I want to hone on for the entire message. So I'll read it again. The angel assured Mary, "Don't be afraid. Don't yield to your fear, Mary. The Lord's found delight in you and has chosen you with a wonderful gift. He has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift." Say it with me. He has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. One more time. He's chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. So many of you have probably heard of, read, took the test of the book, The Five Love Languages. When I've taken the test, what I score high on is gifts. There are five love languages, and gifts is one of them. And my top love language, listen, I love them all. I love words of affirmation. I love acts of service. But which tops it off by far are gifts. I love to receive gifts, okay? If you love me, you give me gifts, okay? That's just, You can serve me, you can encourage me, I'll take it, but if you really love me, just lavish me with gifts. And what's wild, because I'm wired that way, it's just of my makeup, I remember gifts that are given to me. Like, most people probably are just like, I don't know who gave me that. I don't know where this came from. Not me, baby. It's like, I put on a bracelet and I'm remembering, oh, Raphael and Tofumi gave me that. I'm going to pray for them. Like, I think of these because I remember our first Christmas together, Mike and I. This is crazy. We had nothing, but he had like 10 presents wrapped for me. 9 of the 10 were pictures of us framed. It was awesome. It was, I just kept unwrapping another framed picture of us, another framed picture of us. It was so great because he knows I love gifts. I remember wedding gifts 23 years ago that were given to us. I can go through, this person gave us this wedding gift, this person gave us this one. It's wild because it's just my love language. But maybe ironically, I not only love to receive gifts, I love to give gifts as well. So today, because I love to give gifts and it's Christmas Sunday, and I'm feeling like a little Oprah spirit come on me, we're going to give away a few gifts today. So a few years ago, my friend Pastor May gave me, which she gives me amazing gifts always, she gave me these See's lollipops. If anybody's ever had these, they're to die for. Thank you. All those people that have had them are wildly nodding their head. They're incredible. 3 flavors in here. You want them. You might hate me if you get these because you just keep going back to See's to buy more. But, you know, it's okay. So I'm going to give one of these boxes to somebody over here. Does anybody want it over here? Okay. A hand in the back. Went up first. Come and grab it. Come and grab it. Yes, yes, yes. Can you hand it to him for me? Thank you. Okay, and then this side. Wow, you're already raising your hand. Okay, yes, it's you. Wonderful. I love it. Come and get it. Perfect. Now, for you in the middle, you can reach under your seat because I love the middle section, and I'm hoping to encourage more people to sit in the middle by doing this because you never know what gift card. There are 2 different gift cards. I don't know which one. There's a $50 and a $25 in there. So, there's somebody found one. Maybe? Nope. There we go. Okay, not a sticker. Well, you know, scoot over on an empty seat, and maybe you'll try to find it. But Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry, Merry Christmas. So, with gifts, everyone's going to be moving around searching frantically, right? Where's the gift card? Anybody find it? Okay, good. Good, good, good. There's one. There should be another one. But okay, awesome. All right, Merry Christmas. So to me, the gift, as much as I love gifts, the gift is even more wonderful when it's packaged and wrapped exquisitely. So I have a friend, Becky, and she wraps gifts in the most stunning way. You don't even want to open the gift because the wrapping of the gift is a gift in itself. You just want to look at how beautiful the wrapped gift is. You don't even want to open it, almost. But I love that. If you've ever owned or purchased an Apple product, you also kind of know what I mean, right? It's like it is such a well-thought-out, impressive experience that you have as you are opening this Apple product. Very impressive. So what I want to do is I want to put ourselves in Mary's shoes. This gift that the angel appeared to her and said, hey, I've got this. You've been chosen to receive this wonderful gift. I'm wondering, the way that gift was packaged to Mary maybe was not so breathtaking or stunning or wonderful to her initially. I mean, think about it. She wasn't married. The town would talk. Stoning could be in her future. What would Joseph think? What would her family think? This story sounds outrageous. I mean, who would believe this story? A young, uneducated, virgin girl from Nazareth. So a nobody from a trashy town, basically. is pregnant with God's son and is going to deliver the long-awaited Messiah? It sounds preposterous. It's outrageous. Who would believe this? But how did Mary respond to it? You know what she did? You know what her response was? She packed her bags and she set off on a journey to visit her cousin Elizabeth. That was her response. This is what she heard. I'm packing my bags. Here I go. Now, why would she do that? Why would she go to her cousin Elizabeth's house? Why would she journey there? Well, remember what we read. Elizabeth had been barren. She was elderly. She was beyond the age of childbearing. Sound familiar? Like another story maybe in the Bible? Right? She's barren, past the years of bearing children, and lo and behold, she becomes pregnant. She's also pregnant with the one who would declare the way of the Lord, John the Baptist. So why would Mary want to go to Elizabeth's house? I believe it's because Mary wanted to be around someone who had experienced an impossible situation and had faith to believe God. Because that's exactly what Mary was experiencing. An impossible, seemingly impossible situation. A young, uneducated virgin pregnant with the long-awaited Messiah. This is crazy. I need to go be with somebody else who has experienced an impossible situation. An elderly, beyond the years of childbearing woman who's now 6 months pregnant with the one who will prepare the way of the Lord. I got to be around that kind of faith. I've got to be around that kind of person who's going to believe and stand with me and help me know what's true. Had to be around a woman of great faith, and we need to place ourselves around people who are of faith, who believe God for the impossible, who press in and refuse doubt and refuse unbelief, who quiet the naysayers, who silence the negative talkers, who believe for the impossible. Why? Because this gift was too precious, too special, too important to be aborted in an atmosphere of unbelief. The promise of our lives and our destinies should be guarded in such a way. I've said this before, but many of us don't know who we are, but the devil sure does. And that's why he works, and he works, and he works to lie to you, to deceive you, to destroy you, to lure you, to tempt you, to take you out, to get you on the sidelines. Because he knows who you are. Like Mary, we need to be a people who guard and protect the destiny of our life. Because it's important and precious and powerful. And so we need to surround ourselves with people of faith who will tell us what's true, who will encourage us and breathe life into us instead of tearing us down, who will build us up and encourage us and tell us, yes, you can go through over the mountain. Yes, you can make it through the valley. You know what? You can go through it, but you can go through the waters and you won't be drowned. You can go through the fire and you won't be burned. And I'm going to be with you, right next to you, the whole way, holding up your arms, cheering you on, fighting for you, encouraging you. That's the kind of people I want around me. And that's exactly why Mary went to be with Elizabeth, to guard against unbelief for this beautiful promise. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So I got the title of the message. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The NLT says, thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. This gift of Jesus, this gift of salvation, is too wonderful for words. It's an indescribable gift. Yes. There are not enough words to put around the gift that if you have been born again and said yes to Jesus, if you've received him, there's no words. Yeah. for this amazing gift. You know the reason we give gifts to each other at Christmas? It's because God gave us a gift. So we can follow in his footsteps and give gifts. He gave the greatest gift. So there's a pastor, and he had an older gentleman come and speak in one of his Sunday evening services. And the older gentleman got up and began sharing a story. The story was about a father, a son, and the son's friend. The three of them, the father, the son, and the son's friend, they went sailing off the Pacific coast. And they were out and about for a while, and then all of a sudden a storm blew in. And the storm came, and the boat capsized. And they couldn't get back to shore. And the father had a very difficult decision to make, because he only had one lifeline. Would he throw the lifeline to his son, or would he throw the lifeline to his son's friend? Well, he knew that his son was a believer. And he also knew his son's friend was not a believer. And he couldn't bear the thought of his son's friend slipping into eternity without knowing and receiving Jesus. So he yelled out to his son. And he said, "Son, I love you." And then he threw the lifeline to his son's friend. And by the time his son's friend got to the boat, his son's body had drifted away, never to be recovered. And this older gentleman with a very worn Bible who's telling this story, he sees two teenagers sitting on the front row listening. And after he finished with the service, he sat down, and those two teenagers came over to him and they said, "Sir, that was an amazing story, but we don't think it's actually realistic that he would throw the rope to his son's friend hoping he would become a Christian." And the older man said, "Well, it's exactly what God did. And it may not seem realistic, but I need to tell you that I'm that son's friend." And when that man did that, it showed me how much God loved me. And this is what Christmas is all about. God so loved the world. God so loved every single human being on the planet. God so loved every person that would ever be born. God so loved the entire world that he gave Jesus, his son, as a gift to be received, a gift to be accepted for all that would say yes, so that we could be restored back to the Father. This is an indescribable gift. Romans 5:8 tells us, God proves his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, my question to you today is, what can we give this year to God and to others in response to having received this indescribable gift? What can we give to God, and what can we give to others in response for receiving this indescribable gift? So first, we're going to talk about God. What can we give to God this season? What can we give to him in response to this gift? I'd like to submit to you that an amazing gift that we could give to God, that we could offer to Him, would be surrendered obedience. Surrendered obedience. I talked about the Five Love Languages book earlier. Do you know God's love language? Do you know what that is? His love language is obedience. God's love language is obedience. You can find it all throughout the Word. If you love me, you'll obey me. If you know me, you'll walk in my ways. You'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll obey me. His love language is obedience. And one of, if not the biggest challenge we face, I believe, as human beings, is dying to ourselves. Anybody else ever have that problem, or is it just me alone up here? Dying to ourselves, the surrendering of our will. That will, oh my goodness, it's strong. Even if you're not a firstborn, it's still strong. If you're the 10th born, it doesn't get any weaker, okay? There's a battle inside of us to live by the spirit or by the flesh. We feel it. There's this battle every day. At least in my world, it's an everyday battle. Here's the spirit wanting to do this and the flesh wants to do this. My spirit wants to love and honor my husband. My flesh wants to just nitpick at him. You know, my spirit wants to serve. My flesh just wants to be selfish. I mean, it's just this constant battle back and forth, back and forth. Romans 8, 4 through 9a says, "So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointed one living his life in us. And we are free to live, not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the sense and reason of the flesh is death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and finds peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights the plans of God and refuses to submit to His direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit." So the life that God has called each of us to as His sons and His daughters is a life of surrendered obedience. We saw it in Mary. She made the decision to choose surrendered obedience. I mean, it wasn't easy. What she did, it was the furthest thing from easy. It was not pain-free. She faced ridicule, backlash. Can you imagine the talk of the town? This unwed young teenager, she's pregnant. Gossip. And after all that maybe kind of simmered down, think about the census comes, right? And so everybody has to go back to the town where they were born. And so Joseph says, "Let's go to Bethlehem, babe. We got to get back." And what is Mary? She's out to here. She's 40 weeks pregnant. She's full term. And she's got to walk all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That was a several day walk, and or riding on a donkey. Neither would be pleasant, I promise, when you are fully pregnant. Been there, done that 3 full times. I don't want to be walking miles on rugged terrain. I mean, the conditions were hard. And then when they finally make it, because of the census, because everybody had flooded the town of Bethlehem, there's no room. There's no hotel available. There's no resort available. There's not even a Motel 6 available. I mean, we got nothing. Nothing. Everything's sold out in the entire little town. It's sold out. So what do they find? They find a cave. They find a cave. Okay, so let me tell you, not an ideal way I'd like to ever give birth. In a cave, number one, okay? Joseph, I'm sure, somehow he finds some straw. You get some fresh straw to lay on before you give birth to your baby. I mean, this is the luxury she gets. She's in a cave, laying on some straw. Her mom isn't there with her. Her sisters aren't there with her. Her aunt isn't there with her. Elizabeth isn't there with her, her cousin. She's there alone as a teenage girl. A young teenage. She's by herself in a cave on some straw giving birth to God the Son. Nothing easy about this, my friends. And yet she, again, made a decision to choose surrendered obedience over and over and over, all the way to the cross. Surrendered obedience. Her response in Luke 1:38 says, "Be it unto me according to your word." Passion Translation says, "Yes, as his servant, I'll accept whatever he has for me." That's what surrendered obedience looks like, my friends. You hear the flesh? You feel the tug of the flesh? Be it unto me according to your word. Whatever you say, Lord. Whatever you want. I absorb the sin. You remember my message a few months ago about absorbing sin? I'll absorb that person's sin right now. With every fiber in my being, I want to be offended. I want to lash back out. I want to attack. I want to be just as ugly. I'll absorb it instead. I'll absorb it instead. Surrender to you, Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Let me look like you. Respond like you, walk like you, Jesus, in surrendered obedience. Surrendered obedience is a gift all of us can give to the Lord this season. So to others, what could we give to others this season in response of having received this indescribable gift? What could we give to others? Well, first and foremost, this isn't obvious, but it's Jesus. To those who don't know him, who haven't received him, that's the obvious. Give others Jesus. Share the gospel. Love on them. Serve them. Talk. Give your testimony. Whatever package you want to wrap it in, package it and give Jesus to others. All those are in your sphere of influence. You've done it before. Do it again. You've done it before. Do it again. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Just keep doing it again. More family members are probably, you're going to be with them over the holiday season. Give them Jesus again. Share the gospel again. Tell them how much God loves them again. I was reminded of this last week when Mike and I flew to Pittsburgh for his brother-in-law's funeral. And it was a sudden, if you were here last Sunday, you heard Mike talk about it. He was 67 years old, in perfect health, had a normal day. He's in bed at 9 o'clock at night watching some news. He texts his wife, who's Mike's oldest sister. She's at her friend's house baking Christmas cookies. He texts her at 9 o'clock, and at midnight she's walking through the door. He had just fallen on the bathroom floor, and moments, hours so later, he passed. My friends, none of us are promised tomorrow. None of us know if tomorrow's our last day. Seeing that with him reminded me of how short life can be. We need those reminders. We need those reminders to put the fire under us. We need those reminders to tell us, I've been given the most unbelievable, indescribable gift. I must give this gift to other people. You don't know Jesus? I got to give you Jesus because it's the best thing I could ever do. If you get upset, you get offended, I'm sorry, I really love you, but I got to give it to you. Serve it up on a platter of love and a lot of grace, but give people Jesus. We don't know when our last day is, and we don't know when theirs is. So that's the first. and foremost gift we can give others this season is Jesus. But secondly, I want to present another idea to you. So as I was studying and praying on this, I heard the Lord say, give spiritual gifts. This year, give spiritual gifts. To those who've already received Jesus, give them a spiritual gift. Romans 1:11 says this, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. I don't know about you, but if you came up to me and you were like, Julie, I've got a spiritual gift to give you because I want you to be stronger, I would say, let me have it. Give me some more of that. Anybody else? Who doesn't want another spiritual gift? Who doesn't want to be stronger? Flowing more in the power of Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You know, as I sought the Lord on this for each of my children, they're going to be all, the surprise is going to be taken away today because they're all going to hear the message, but I sought the Lord. Lord, what spiritual gift do you want to give each of my children this year? And he spoke to me, a spiritual gift to give Isabella, a spiritual gift to give Olivia, and a spiritual gift to give Michael. And so I am wrapping and packaging up a spiritual gift for each of my three children. Along with it, I purchased a book for them that is in accordance to the gift that I believe the Lord is going to give them this Christmas to help them to create a greater desire for the gift and to teach them how to flow in and operate in the gift. Why not give your spouse a spiritual gift this year? Or your children? Or your grandchildren? Or your niece? Or your nephew? Listen, that pair of socks or pair of slippers, they're going to be worn out and have holes in 3 months. Discarded. Praise God for new slippers and new socks. But how about a spiritual gift that could last for the rest of your life, that you could flow in and operate in and know Jesus better and feel his pleasure. Feel his pleasure as you surrender to that gift. Or maybe a blessing. Maybe you just want to hear from the Lord and write out a spiritual blessing that you want to speak over your family members. You want to wrap it or maybe frame it. I don't know. Be creative. Ask him. Ask him, he'll speak to you. Spiritual gifts. Let's be generous in giving them. I mean, how awesome would it be? I can see your kids doing this. This would be so great. How awesome would it be in January when your kids go back to school and little Johnny's like, well, the teacher's like, okay, let's talk about our Christmas gifts. And little Johnny's like, oh, I got a baby Yoda. And then your little kid goes, I got the spiritual gift of leadership. Now get in line. Let's get the lunch. I mean, how awesome. Remember what the angel told Mary. Our key verse, Luke 1:30. Please remember this Christmas. The Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. My prayer, as this season, you would be surprised by the Father with wonderful gifts. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.